When you get to your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to start. We'll be moving around a little bit, so if you can't follow along fast enough, you might want to take out a pen and paper. If you don't have one, there's some on the back table by Eleanor here. You might want to grab some paper as well. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, and the drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live, key word is live, like this, will not, key word, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Father, today I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're going to do with your word. I thank you that Isaiah tells us that your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which it was sent to do. And Lord, I pray today that the word of God inside that is going to be presented by myself as well as in me, as well as in this congregation today and presented to them, I pray that it has good ground to be seeded in, and that as that seed has good ground, it can grow and mature and become all that you want it to be, because these are things that you want in our life. And so, Lord, because of that, we want to take that in and enjoy that. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in also preparing us and continue to seed us with the things that are from your word so that we can become fruitful for the kingdom. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Many of you have probably heard the difference between joy and happiness. You can be happy, mad, sad, glad, but joy is a state that you are in because of a relationship. Joy can be an emotion. It means in the Hebrew to be excited, but literally it's not an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is a state of being. And as we look through these scriptures, you'll find out through the Word of God today that if you have the joy of the Lord, it's almost like having an undergarment on that you wear all the time. It's something that you don't take off. It's something that's a part of you. It's established. It's so a part of you that it's just something you always wear. I always used to think of my dad, because I'd watch my dad, you know, dress, and he always wore a t-shirt underneath his other shirt, and I'm thinking, oh my Lord God, how can you wear that? It's so hot. You know what I do all the time now? I wear a t-shirt underneath my shirt, and I never understood why, but somehow there's something about it that I just rarely don't do that. I mean, it's just a rarity. And I want to encourage you that as we look at joy today out of the scriptures, it is literally a position that you can be excited about, because it's not based on whether something is happy, mad, sad, glad, or otherwise. It's something that's been established in the heavenlies by the kingdom of God, by Jesus Christ, because he's going to say in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So there, literally what's going to happen is that once I come into relationship with Jesus Christ, now I have this establishment of joy, not happiness. That's a roller coaster, because some of you were probably happy before you left, but by the time you got here, you weren't happy. Anybody have that happen today? Don't, yeah. Or sometimes it just comes and goes. Circumstances causes your emotions to go on this roller coaster, but literally joy is in a constant existence of being excited. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, where you're going to have the joy of the Lord, there is something so consistent about him, because he's not having a care day. He's not having an anxiety day. He's not having a fearful day because of what's going to happen today, tomorrow, or in the future. He already knows that what he establishes, it'll make it all the way through time and never change. That's why you and I can have this excitement about the joy of the Lord and just walk in whatever we face, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. We can walk faithfully knowing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why? Because there wasn't anything that rattled him. There wasn't anything that caused him to be at fear. There wasn't anything, no matter what he faced, he just said, Father, let your will be done, not mine. Therefore, the establishment of the Word of God in Jesus was the strength that he had to walk through whatever he had to face for the Father and for us. And he had that joy. He had that joy. So that means for you and I that when we go through life, the news that Josie and Amber had, I didn't go, oh my God, what are we going to do? I didn't do that. But I went right to the source of what I know is right. Because that is true no matter what I see. No matter what happens in the world, it don't matter. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's so solid and so secure that you and I can have this joy that God brings. And I tell you, when you get that inside of you, yes, there will be challenging things that come your way. Yes, you will have emotions. But the reality of it is that deep inside, there's something about you that absolutely is going to be like, you know what? Devil, you're going to pay. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and you're not taking that away because I know who I serve. Because I've become established in this relationship of knowing who he is and all about him and what he purchased. You see, that's sometimes our greatest weakness. We don't know what God created, what he made. We don't realize what he established because of his word. Because sometimes his word is probably the least read book in our lives. And because of this word, you and I can have this security. Jesus was the word. He did everything exactly like the Father, and there wasn't one thing that rattled him throughout his walk. And if I'm to be like him, I need the joy of the Lord, which is exactly knowing that everything Jesus provided, everything Jesus purchased, everything that he did upon his life, death, and resurrection is all for me so that I can walk this life with the peace, joy, strength, health, whatever it is I need for every situation. And I can enjoy what God's doing. I can see what God's doing. And interestingly enough, the Bible uses joy as a fruit. When's the last time you said, I need some joy? Boop, it just came. Joy is a fruit. It's produced. It's a production of what you're hooked to. So if I'm not hooked to the source that can produce joy in my deep down inside my center, my being, not up here, down in here in your spirit, man. Because if when I get that joy, guess what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why? It was in Nehemiah's day that he said that. And they were rebuilding the walls. The city around had all these holes in the walls that it wasn't able to protect the city anymore. So now he said, now we're going to begin to erect and build these walls. And so now as he began to do that, there become this security that the joy of the Lord is my strength. No matter what comes against me, we will stand strong. No matter how it comes against me, we will stand strong. And that's exactly why God gave Nehemiah that particular scripture. So as I get into the Word of God, I understand who he is, I understand what he did, and I understand that everything is in his control. Everything is in his control. He is not out of control. No, we don't give him liberty to control everything here. In fact, some of us even here this morning probably have given God very little control of our own lives. That's not his fault. That means he's still in control. He's still in control, whether you give him liberty to be in control or not. He's still in control. Therefore, as you and I open the door of our heart, we can give him more control and let him lead, let him guide, let him direct, let him establish the things that he absolutely wants to do in each one of our lives. But the only way you and I can have fruit of any of the things of the Spirit is to make sure we are connected to the vine that produces all the fruit that we need. So that means you can't connect with God and disconnect. Connect with God, disconnect. Connect with God. I mean, if I took Elner's plants that she waters faithfully out here, and one Sunday she comes and I just yanked it out of the dirt and said, "Isn't Elner such a great gardener?" And just kind of shove it back in the thing. What's Elner going to do? "What did you just do? That thing might die now." Why? Because I jerked it out of its environment of the ability to grow. So if I take myself out of the environment that helps me to grow and produce my relationship with Jesus, then I'm not going to produce the fruit that God wants to produce in me. Does that make sense? So I have to make sure that what God wants established in me, which I know that he wants that in us. It's not hard to receive that God says the acts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, goodness, self-control, which I sometimes don't have so much. Can't wait till we get to that fruit. But all of those come as a result of me staying connected to this vine, because out of Jesus Christ comes life, and life abundantly. Well, if life abundantly comes out of that, if I keep myself in that, then I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have love. I'm going to have patience. I'm going to have all these wonderful fruits, because that's what comes out of the relationship of Jesus Christ. So stay in it. Don't be transitioning back and forth and kind of pulling yourself out of this so-called potted thing where you can't grow. Stay in this thing, because it is a fruit. And it's definitely marks you as a believer if you have these fruits. Sometimes people in the world have some of that fruit more than we do, it appears like. Why is that? Why is that? Sometimes it's because they've grown up in a quality of a home where they just have good characteristics, but they don't have Jesus. And other times, they might have seen something from Jesus that they just started displaying, even though they didn't have much advantage in their growing up years or whatever, and that God has downloaded or given them things that they can do as they hang on to what they know. But the reality is that the church should be the most fruitful place in the world. The church should literally be the most fruitful place in the world. And the reason that should be is because we are connected to the vine. We are connected to him, and it's definitely a position that you and I get to come into. Let's go to Nehemiah. It's after 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. So it's something that is established. It's not so much an emotion. It can result in having emotion, but having the joy of the Lord is definitely not just an emotion. It is not that that way. So beginning with verse 1 in Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8. Sorry about that. Verse 1, I'd like to begin reading there, because look at what's going to happen as they go about this. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Wow. Makes our services look pretty weak, doesn't it? There it is. As he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood these guys. And on his left, the other guys. You're going to just laugh anyway, so I might as well help it out. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Joshua, Bani, those guys, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. Verse 8. And they read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. And then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listen to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have been nothing prepared, who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength, meaning that there's something about the law or the word of God that brings a joy to you and I, so that we know that everything that God wants to do is established and ordered by his hand. And in doing that, guess what's going to take place? There's going to be an establishment in me that no matter what I face, Nehemiah was facing a broken down city walls. They were rebuilding. They were trying to establish the city again, had all kinds of opposition. There was a bunch of people trying to throw all kinks in the plan. But Nehemiah kept his focus where it needed to be. You might feel like what you're trying to build in your life today seems like there's so much opposition. Is it really worth it? If it's in God's eyes and it's God's kingdom and it's his work, yes, it's worth it. Just because it doesn't come easy doesn't mean it's not of God. Because building, anybody that's ever watched building, there's times there's easy things, and then there's real challenging things. There's difficult things that come along. It takes a lot of man and grunt work to get it done. And I guess, you know, the reality is that we have to realize that if there isn't something in that builder to finish that project, no matter how difficult it is, then there'll be a whole bunch of unfinished projects not being done. Don't you be a project that God is working on to build and establish, so that what he wants to build in you can be established in you so great and so strong that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. All the years that we've been here at New Life, we've honestly have never really had bad days. I'll be honest. I think New Life is had a relatively good history of just establishing. Yeah, there's challenges, but it never was nothing that never really came against us. But even the things that did come against us, we just stood strong knowing that this is what God said, this is where he's at. If this is where he wants us, then we'll be here. And for 28 years, God has been faithful. God has established what he wants, and we're very thankful for that. But I'll tell you what, we would have never made it had we not determined ourselves to follow what he is and what he's all about. We would have quit if we'd have gone by our flesh, if we'd have gone by how we feel, if we'd gone by how we numbers we have. I was just talking to Travis this morning about numbers, and you know, to be honest, I wouldn't care if only five of you showed up today or 500. It really don't matter. I could care less. Does that mean I don't care about you? No. I just know that God is the God of a big body, and if he needs you somewhere else, I want you to be there. But if he wants you to be here, I want you here. So that takes all the pressure off numbers.
But it puts all of the pressure on the Holy Spirit doing in the work in those that are here for today. If next Sunday we have only two show up, so what? I'll give them the whole load. There's a little story behind that. There was a preacher that had church one day and only a couple people showed up. And so the preacher went through the whole service and gave it all to them. And one of the guys came up to him afterwards and he says, "Preacher, I feed cattle." And he says, "If I only have two cows show up, I don't unload the whole load for them." So that was kind of cute. But, you know, the reality is that if we don't learn to adjust with the things that God is doing, no matter what it looks like to us, we'll never be able to accomplish what God wants. And you and I have to lift up our eyes off of the things that absolutely seem so difficult for us because it's not maybe the way it used to be or the way it should be or the way we think it should be. Learn to adjust with what God is doing, because anytime God takes me and molds me, it's always challenging me because he's breaking me out of what I know. He's taking me out of this avenue of what I know. And it's like, "Lord, why would you do that?" And he says, "Do you want to stay here or do you want to go forward?" "Well, I don't know about you, but I want to go forward. I want to move along. I want to put my hand in his. And whether it's another 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, I really don't care. But all I know is I want to make sure that I'm right in step with him. And when I'm right in step with him, guess what? Then God can consistently build and establish in me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will never be weak. I will never be in that place where I just completely collapse because things aren't the way they used to be. And those days will be challenging to my flesh, I promise you. But that's where right now, while everything's going well, I build my spirit man to say, you are in control, Lord. I establish that in my mind, in my heart, that there's no one greater than you. And that's what you have to continue to establish in your mind, is what is God saying? What is God doing? How does he want it done? Because he says here, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." They weren't done building the walls yet. But the joy of the Lord is their strength. Turn over to Psalms 4. Just a little bit to your right. Psalms 4. I've got some pretty amazing scriptures I want to read with you today. How do we keep this joy? The psalmist had a lot to say about the joy of the Lord. Psalms 4, verse 1. "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin." Did you notice the transition? Lord, when do you hear? And all of a sudden, I know you're going to hear. Isn't that funny how he goes through those things? You ever go through that? It's like, "Lord, I need help." But yeah, I know you're faithful. You know, you just hang in there. You see this guy. It's just like amazing. Verse 3, "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. And many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord, for you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound." Wow, comparing that, when you bring in a harvest of what you've worked for, you say, "Yeah, we're finally getting ahead." But there's greater joy even in the midst of not having anything when you walk with God. Greater joy. So no matter how excited you get over everything in life, the psalmist was on this teeter-totter of, "Lord, do you ever hear us?" And it's like, "No, I know you hear us." He went from one extreme to the other, and it's just fun to watch how that is not anything uncommon for you and I. We can hang on to what God's saying, but yet when we're challenged, it's like, "Oh, Lord, how long do I have to do this?" And boy, I tell you, it's really challenging. But the psalmist came to the conclusion that this was going to be okay. He says, because there's greater joy than when the new grain and new wine abound. Turn over to Psalms 21. Keep going. Psalms 21. He says this, verse 1. O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him the desire of his heart and have not withheld the request of his lips. You welcomed him with rich blessing and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Joy in many scriptures that we would read today are definitely something that we absolutely need to continue to realize. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 12. He gets done talking about the word not returning void, but accomplishing that which it was sent to do. In verse 12 he says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. You will go out in joy. Why can you go out in joy? Not based on your circumstances. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's something about God that no matter where you go and how you go about it, God is going to lead you, guide you, and direct you to where you can walk in joy, knowing that God will take care of you. And that's something the world doesn't know, but it's something that the church needs to get understanding, because this is truly a fruit that will help balance the very emotions that you and I go through when we face challenges of our everyday. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Interesting comment by Paul in the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, so we know he's writing to Christians, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Oh, man. Extreme poverty, overwhelming joy, has nothing to do with your circumstances. Joy literally has nothing to do with your circumstances. Why? Because whether I have much or none, I can be content in Jesus Christ. Because I know that he's got everything I need, no matter what I see, no matter what goes on, he's got everything I need. Why? Because that is the joy that gives me strength to know that I will make it through this day, because everything's already been purchased, everything's already been provided. And yes, you will be okay. You will be fine, but you got to allow that joy to be your strength, not your circumstance. Just as in marriage or in relationships, my wife cannot be the thing that makes me happy. My husband, I can't say that right. That does not sound right. Your husband cannot make you completely happy. You need to be completely content in Jesus Christ, and everything your spouse brings into the relationship will be overflow into your life. Because if I'm not full with Jesus Christ, what happens when she dies? All of a sudden, I have this area that can't be filled by anybody again. But it was never meant to be filled by her. It was meant to be filled by Jesus. And see, sometimes that's really hard for us to imagine, but that's the reality of it is God wants us so full of him that everything else in my life is like icing on the cake. It's the topping we get to enjoy. So out of these churches, out of the most severe trial that they're facing, Their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity for Paul and the work that he was doing. I find that really interesting. So joy literally has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has everything to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Turn over to James, right after Hebrews, James chapter 1. Once again, it is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of being connected to Jesus Christ, not disconnecting, reconnecting. It's getting connected, staying connected, and watching that fruit come out of your life. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." Say what? What does joy and trials of many kinds have any correlation with? How can that be emotional? It can't be. Because trials cause me to wonder what I'm doing or why is God doing this to me? I mean, you always ask your questions. What's going on? Why do I have to go through this? And so all of a sudden he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. So out of this joy of walking with God will come this challenge of learning to persevere in life. No matter what comes against me, no matter what I'm facing, I persevere, I press on, I don't quit, I keep going because I know there's a prize at the end of this walk. And that's the joy that will continue to keep you from going down that road of persevering rather than quitting, because anybody can quit. That's easy. I got to tell you this. Gordon Mellum used to come here and back in the day, and he's passed on now, but he smoked, and he was honest. He says, you know what? I really enjoy smoking. And I said, somebody asked him one day at breakfast, he says, have you ever tried to quit? He says, quit? Shucks, I've done that 100 times. That's easy. I just get a charge. He was so honest. I love that about Gordon. He says, quitting, shucks, that's easy. I've done it 100 times. Coming from Gordon, it was just hilarious. I just loved that. But anybody can quit, but the reality is perseverance is a perseverance because of this joy that you know that's in you. Last scripture, 3 John. 3 John. I don't remember the last time I read out of 3 John, to be honest with you. 3 John, verse 4. There's only one chapter, so that's why. 3 John, verse 4. He says, John was writing, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. When's the last time that walking in truth was the joy of your life? You ever had to do something that was true that was very difficult? Like confront somebody because you're offended? That's not fun, but you're doing it out of love. You're doing it because you love them. The Bible says if someone offends you, you're supposed to go to them. Right? I don't know about you, but that's not very much fun. But he says that there's great joy when he hears his children walking in truth. So my walking in obedience to God's word is what brings me joy. Because God's word has the ability to produce that fruit in me that can't be produced any other way. And so we really want to enjoy this walk of walking in the joy of the Lord. And so this morning, I pray that that is something that grows deep inside of you and me more than ever before. The joy of the Lord. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work that is done by His Word, by His truth. It's established. It's not emotional. It's just joy. Lord, I thank you for your joy this morning. To be excited about your joy. Because you know what? As you walk faithfully through this day, if you're called home tomorrow, you have nothing to be ashamed of because you walk faithfully. Right? So tomorrow morning when you wake up and you don't get to go home yet, you walk through faithfully with God's joy and God's strength and God's ability. You fulfill that day to everything God wants you to do. Pretty soon there's great joy when His kids walk in truth. John wrote that. So then the next day, Tuesday, you wake up. You might not feel like it, but God's word says. So I begin to walk in that joy, and you begin to not be consumed by what is or isn't happening, and you walk in that joy, and next thing you know, you fulfill that day. Boom, great joy when my kids walk in truth. So every single day, God is like, oh, there's my boy Tyler. Woo-hoo, he's walking in truth today. I watch him, and all of a sudden, boom, the day's done. Yeah, Tyler, there's great joy in my kids walking in truth. That's what he loves. And that not only is it great joy to him, but it's great joy to you, because you have nothing to be ashamed of. Isn't that cool? Oh, yeah. So there's great joy in walking in truth of what God says. So let's all stand and pray. Father, this morning we want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity to dive into your word. And Lord, this morning I ask that you will help each and every one of us to enjoy the joy of the Lord, that we will get excited about this joy that comes from you, comes from your word, comes from walking out truths in our life, so that joy can be established greater than anything else in our lives at this point, that we would have that joy of knowing that no matter what we face, you're there. No matter how many trials we face, it is great joy for those that persevere. Lord, there's great joy in being obedient to your word. And so, Lord, I pray today that you'll help joy to be something that is so established in us that we can experience that and expect that, something to be expected, and it will be evident to those that walk around us that they'll see the joy of the Lord is our strength. That when they say, how did you make it through that? How did you do that? And you say, well, guess what? The joy of the Lord was my strength. The joy of knowing God is faithful to his word. The joy of walking out the truth of God's word brings joy to my life. And there's no other way to get it. So, Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us to walk in that joy. Walk out that joy that is in our life. Father, thank you for helping us to do that. And Lord, if there's any circumstances that seem bigger than you in our lives today, I pray that they get dethroned and Jesus Christ gets established there. And because of that, there'll be great joy in the house where you live. And that's not this church, that's our lives. And so we want to thank you and praise you for the joy that you bring. And we ask this all in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Stay connected. Don't give up. Stay connected, okay? Be a blessing as you go. If you need prayer, come on up. We'd be glad to pray with you.